This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gipps, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide-and-seek.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
This is a trap to our existence!
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
I feel so good. So good to be
there.
Get ready for the ride.
Cause it was so
Hide and seek.
Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek for another Wednesday night. This is your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Big thank you to the Chicks Talking Footy. Andrew the Apprentice here tonight along with Mr. Tim.
Good evening. Back again.
And on Monday evening, it broke on Joy 94.9 moments before the Age newspaper here in Melbourne went live with an exclusive, as they called it, that a Melbourne man tests positive to HIV while taking preventative drug. Now, this has caused...
That's not a loaded headline at all.
This has caused a little bit of angst amongst the community. And so, of course, here on Hide and Seek, we wanted to have a thorough discussion about it. You know, we've been talking about PrEP here on Hide and Seek for... several years now, and so it is, of course, our obligation to open up this conversation. So joining us this evening is Michael from Prep Access Now.
Hi, how you going?
Chris from Prep for Change.
Hi, guys.
And Joel, who's a man living with HIV.
Hello.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. The word failure was used in the Age article on Monday evening. What's, Chris, can we start with you? What's your thoughts about the use of the word failure in the article?
I think in this context, it's probably a bit premature to say failure, first of all. And the term failure, I think, is a little unfair on the basis of what PrEP is and what PrEP is for. So to say that PrEP has failed is really doing PrEP an injustice, I think, in this situation.
Michael, what are your thoughts around that word?
In this context, I have to agree with Chris, and in this particular scenario, we don't have all the information. We have very, very, very little information. Yep. So to label this particular situation a failure is unjust, not just to the person that's having this experience now, but also, like Chris said, to the drug itself.
So now, what information do we know at this point? I think that's important.
At the moment, all we know is that someone that was enrolled in the PrepX Victorian study has tested positive for HIV.
That's all we know.
That's all we know. It's very slim pickings at this stage. but as we know, the study is still ongoing, so it's not for us to know at this stage.
And we can get to some of that, you know, a little bit later. But we should mention, of course, PrEP Access Now and PrEP for Change are both... how do you describe yourselves as organisations?
Well, Prep Access Now, or PAN as we now know, is a not-for-profit community organisation. Yep. We're an incorporated not-for-profit, of which I'm the vice chairperson. So we're a community advocacy group.
And Chris?
So Prep for Change exists and was founded as a community support group. Yep. We are really a community, a peer-led community group. We are not incorporated in any way. And we're really there for support and information to be able to facilitate a smooth transition into Prep into Australia.
So you guys, you know, represent, you know, really the public face of Prep here in Victoria, and working with the community. What's been the community's reaction over the last day and a half, 2 days?
A real mixed bag of emotions and responses and different beliefs that come up in response to this. We see, and as is the tendency on social media, when you have very polarizing opinions, those are the ones that tend to, you know, comment on posts on social media, whereas people that aren't necessarily feeling so strongly about that might be more hesitant to do so. So we've seen some interesting, some very good comments that are kind of very compassionate towards this, as well as some not necessarily good comments that are somewhat stigmatizing to both PrEP users and people living with HIV.
So what would you say to someone who's now questioning whether they should go on PrEP after hearing the news? I'm sure you've had those remarks.
Actually, I haven't. I've talked. Quite interestingly, there's been very little discussion of, oh, I was about to start PrEP, but what should I do now? I've actually had a couple of comments going the other way. So people that have gone to clinicians recently to get their script to start personally importing, or they're just about to start the study and very excited and have no reservations, no concerns. So the brilliant thing that I love about the PrEP community that we're a part of is that it's a group of people with extremely high health literacy, and they go on this regime because they know that it works and they've done their research and they've got great clinical care from their physicians, and they go in armed with all the facts.
So we should mention, of course, that, you know, there is the PrEPX trial here in Victoria, which I understand in Melbourne is full. In regional Victoria, there are some places.
There are still.
And Sydney, we should mention, also has got its own trials. And South Australia has just started with one as well.
Yeah, so South Australia has been fortunate enough to have been granted spots for 500 people to join a clinical study. So they've piggybacked off the PrEPX study here in Victoria. So they have PrEPX SA. There's also been an announcement that WA will also receive a trial for 2,000 people, but that hasn't kicked off yet.
And I also saw a stat in the articles that were in the mainstream press about 10-15% of gay men being on PrEP. I've seen a couple of comments around, where's that come from? Is that accurate? Is that roughly right? Do we know that? Or because we don't have a baseline number of gay men we know of in Melbourne. So yeah, how do you work out?
The most beneficial piece of information we can draw from is the Gay Community Periodic Survey, of which the most recent one that was conducted over the sort of midsummer period just previously gone hasn't been released yet. So we don't have those figures for here in Melbourne specifically, as far as I'm aware, just yet.
No, I had a look, and so what, 18 months ago, it was 5% of people who did the survey. But, you know, we don't have a baseline figure.
Yeah, so I think you'll find that figure has jumped incredibly.
Because that was before PrEPX started.
That was before PrEPX started, exactly.
Joel, if I can bring you in here, what's been, you know, over the last couple of days, as a man living with HIV, and observe, I guess, do you feel like you observe this type of debate in the community? Or do you feel part of the debate?
In some ways, I feel a part of it, very much so, because for that individual who we're talking about, they've just become a person living with HIV. And also, like, I just think about, like, when I got diagnosed with HIV, I wasn't at all ready for, like, a page 4 report in The Age about me, even though it's not mentioning the person's name. I would have known it's about me, you know, like, so
yes.
I have to put myself in that person's shoes and think about, you know, how do they feel? Have they got enough support? You know, as the boys have mentioned, you know, there's been some really stigmatizing comments on social media. There's been some really, like, there's a lot of rumors going around. There's a lot of gossip. There's a lot of, you know, oh, you know, stuff around the confidentiality of this case, and some people thinking that Vax shouldn't have said anything, and you know, ranging through to, you know, rumours about super HIV viruses, which you know, we you know, so there's multiple layers of concern, and what's coming across into the people living with HIV community is now they're going, oh well, if PrEP failed, does that mean that there's a super HIV virus that maybe a person living with HIV can get? And well, the answer is no. Like, we know that if a person is continuing to adhere to their treatment as a person living with HIV, that they can't acquire a new strain of HIV. So,
how common is drug-resistant HIV, especially from a Truvada point of view?
Here in Australia, it's incredibly rare. So Truvada's a 1-2 punch of two different drugs.
Sure.
One of which has, I think, virtually essentially no resistance, and then the other one is very, very, very slim. So it's an incredibly powerful drug, and used in an Australian setting, it's incredibly effective here because we have very little resistance to those drugs.
And I think also, I mean, we have to frame how HIV drug resistance occurs, and that's from a person living with HIV not adhering to their medication, having multiple failures of different medications. And so, you know, those are pretty... That happens more in countries where there is less access to healthcare, where they don't maybe have access to ART, antiretroviral treatment.
You're on Hunt. So we're talking about the news this week that someone enrolled in the PrEPX study here in Victoria seroconverted, became HIV positive. And we're joined by Michael and Chris and Joel. We've mentioned a couple of times some of the chatter that's been happening, particularly on social media, I guess, and elsewhere, that, you know, is really stigmatising both people on PrEP, people living with HIV. I think we should potentially just touch on some of the really bad things that are being said, just so we can highlight, I guess, what the misinformation is out there.
Well, I think there's a lot of stereotypes out there about both people living with HIV and people on PrEP, and I'd hate to reiterate any of that live on air because we all see it. Mm-hmm. if you're on social media. What I would think is the really important takeaway message from potentially seeing those negative comments online is that we talk about this person who's recently become a person living with HIV. This person doesn't exist in a bubble. They don't live in a bubble. They're potentially on social media. They're at the bar. They're at the footy. They're wherever you happen to be when you're talking about this issue. So, and as are their friends. You know, their friends, their co-workers who may be privy to this information are there when you're at the bar, you know, slagging off people living with HIV, or you're saying it's due to poor adherence and the guy just didn't take his medication properly and stuff. But people around this person are around you. So it's really important to be super considerate and thoughtful when you choose your language, when you're engaging, especially online. It's just, yeah, it's terrifying to see people get referred to in those ways.
Chris, do people who are part of the PrEP for Change community reach out to you and other peers when they're faced with this sort of stigmatizing language?
Absolutely, and I think that is really the intention of one of the intentions of why we set that group up in the first place, to make sure there was a support channel for people that were going to be potentially going through an interesting and sometimes difficult time, being able to understand, well, how do I operate in this world of PrEP, and what happens if somebody says something to me that is stigmatizing and that's upsetting to my feelings, and what can I do about that? So we handle certainly public posts on the Facebook pages. Both our groups do, Michael and myself, and often we take personal messages from people as well, which we're very happy to do so if people are concerned or have questions.
And Joel, as you said, there's lots of, you know, blame and shame happening towards people living with HIV community as well in this case.
And interestingly, treatment as prevention, which is what we know as an undetectable viral load, means untransmissible. So, you know, the likelihood, you know, if the safe, you know, the efficacy of treatment as prevention is even higher than PrEP. So if we were talking about how to not acquire HIV, it's maybe having sex with a person who's living with HIV with an undetectable viral load. That may be one of the safe... And we're talking about unprotected anal sex here. So, you know, yeah... Ring up your POS buddy and, yeah.
And have a good time.
And have a good time.
So those studies have come out saying 100% of guys that have an undetectable viral load have never passed HIV on to their partners.
That's right.
Which is higher than PrEP.
Which is higher than PrEP, which is 99 point something.
Yeah, they're both incredibly effective and powerful tools. But, yeah, as Joel said, having an undetectable viral load is the... Is number one benchmark. Yeah, yeah, it's the most effective thing we have.
And yeah, I mean the two things combined, it's amazing.
Yeah,
you're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. If you want to join in the discussion, we've got lots of posts on our social media over the last day or so, Tim. So we're going to be touching on some of those a little bit later.
We certainly will.
And but if you've got a comment or a question, let us know. 0427 Joy 949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au.
Hide and seek. Wanna see you get nasty. Wanna see you shake it down, babe. N-A-S-T-Y, you nasty boy.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew and Tim joined this evening by Michael from Prep Access Now, Chris from Prepped for Change, and Joel, who lives with HIV, talking about the news earlier this week that somebody enrolled in the PrepX study has seroconverted, become HIV positive. Now, Tim.
We have some community questions.
Yes. Go ahead.
On social media. The first one, do you believe that the increased use of PrEP over the last few years in Australia, taking into account different approaches per state, is driven more by medical professionals or groups, such as GPs, HIV specialists, or groups like VAC or other social community activists? And why do you think this is the case?
Well, everyone's looking at each other. Who wants to take this one? It's very much a mixed effort, really, here. I mean, Australia's had an incredible response to the uptake of PrEP. I mean, we're estimating that there's around 10,000 people in the country taking PrEP and around 100,000 worldwide, if those figures are accurate. That's an amazing response from Australia that has a relatively low population compared to some of the other countries like the United States and countries around Europe that have adopted PrEP. So it just goes to show the response has been absolutely amazing. I think initially a lot of that response was led by interest from people here, you know, through the community. But we've had an excellent response from the major AIDS organizations, from medical professionals, and people right across the spectrum and the sector.
In HIV medicine, it's usually the clinicians are usually quite conservative when it comes to you know, the efficacy of certain medications. I certainly know that when I first became HIV positive, back then they were still looking at, you know, what is the long term side effects. Yep. Of medication, which we now know it's much better for a person to go on HIV and start treatment as soon as they, you know, pretty much as soon as they get diagnosed. But back then, you know, doctors were split. So and that was only, you know, that was only 7 years ago. So if we think about how far the community has been pushing both GPs and the sector in, you know, at looking into PrEP, I think it's a fantastic effort that wouldn't have happened without the grassroots movement.
When they look at long-term side effects, are they modelling that on people living with HIV that are using these medications, or are they now modelling it on people using PrEP in the way that we use it currently?
My understanding of that is any side effects information that comes from certainly Gilead as the manufacturer of Truvada originally, then that is based upon PrEP or Truvada used for the indication of PrEP in HIV negative people. So we have lots of very interesting baseline data from Truvada for use as treatment for people living with HIV, and there may be some similarities in terms of the side effects and possible side effects, but the side effects that we see reported regarding PrEP are specifically about Truvada's use as PrEP in particular.
Right. And we have had a question. As PrEP is a medication that requires a script to obtain, do you believe that there's a responsibility from individuals to have a formal medical qualification to accurately provide factual information on its usage and side effects to the public?
Absolutely not. I think that's the end of that story. No, I mean, do you need a medical license to talk openly with friends about the contraceptive pill? Do you need a medical license to discuss cancer treatments with family and friends? Do you need...
Condoms.
Yeah, condoms. Do we need a medical license? You know, I mean, it's... I think at the root of that question, I think, is the question of, is inaccurate information being disseminated amongst the community, either by community or through... people that quote-unquote know what they're talking about, people that have quote-unquote done the research kind of thing, which I think is slim to none. There's always going to be misinformation about everything.
Always.
Always. But information, information that's coming directly from, you know, PrEP users and the PrEP community is generally very well informed. There are very, like I said before, high literacy levels in, especially gay men taking PrEP.
I think also, like, part of the involvement of peers and people with the lived experience comes from our experience of the HIV and AIDS epidemic, where people living with HIV demanded to be included, demanded to be part of disseminating the information and dispelling myths and disinformation. And I think, you know, in the same way PrEP users are doing that, and I think they're doing it really successfully and really responsibly. I think there's a really great community spirit around, and a discussion that happens, I've seen in social media, where someone will put up something that's a little bit not quite right, or it could be worded a better way, and there will be other people in the community say, hey, look, you know, I don't think what you're saying is a little bit, you know, it's a little bit wrong, or it's a little bit confusing, maybe you could say it this way. So I think there's also a really good self-moderating mechanism.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We'll be back to continue the conversation very shortly.
Feel like you're going under?
Are you having difficulties with drinking too much, or has partying got out of control?
Has your drug use been escalating and causing problems for you?
Have you tried to stop or change your use but can't seem to manage?
If you want some professional help, then give VAC a call.
At VAC, we provide free drug and alcohol counselling services for the LGBTI community. Please call 1800 906 669 to find out more.
Joy is proud to support this announcement for VAC.
Fireball.
You're on Joy 94.9, Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Of course, we're covering the news this week that someone enrolled in the PrEPX study here in Melbourne, Sarah, converted. But, you know, as we said at the top of the show, the only facts we know are that someone enrolled in the study, Sarah converted. But it has generated a lot of community discussion. And Tim, we were going through some questions. Did we get through them all?
There's one more here, and I think this is for Joel to answer. Do you believe that HIV-positive people have a part to play in the many complicated and passionate discussions around PrEP in the Australian community?
The short answer is yes, I think we do.
Hence, Joel is here tonight.
Once upon a time, I was a HIV negative man. I think also, back when, you know, I was undertaking risky sex, PrEP was available in the US, but we didn't really know anything about it here. And so, you know, I could have been that person. You know, I could be that person. So, yeah, I have to think about, you know, compassion.
Now, the other conversation that's obviously been generated and we can go into a little bit more has been around adherence, both, as you mentioned before, Joel, around treatment as prevention, but also for people on PrEP, ignoring whatever circumstances are in this situation, but adherence to medications is important for everybody. What are some of the big tips, I guess, you know, two, three, four top tips for making sure adherence happens?
There's some really good ones that I like to tell people that are just starting PrEP. So you can get one of those little 7-day pill holders from the pharmacy. Those are really good. You put those wherever you're going to take it every day, and you can see, oh, it's Wednesday. I didn't take it today. If you're like me and a little bit scatterbrained, and
I love my 7-day pill box.
My partner has reminder. One of these.
Yes. Set a reminder on your phone is another good one. And if you have a routine that's already in place, if you already take multivitamins, take them the same time as your multivitamins. Or if you get up every morning and have your cup of coffee, put it by the coffee plunger or put it by the espresso machine or where it is that you have your coffee in the morning. So it's all about ritualizing it and routinizing it so that you forget you're almost doing it. I sometimes sit down at my computer where I keep mine and take it for morning, and then 10 minutes later I go, did I take that instinctively? And then I have to think back and go, no, I definitely took that. Yeah.
When I first started on ART, I used to set like a silent alarm, but it wasn't like take your pills. It was like emu or cockatoo, and they were just. It was just a really discreet way that if anyone saw my phone, you know, they didn't know what it was about.
They just knew you were having a cockatoo.
But I also take pills with me. Like I have a little pill container, and I take that in my bag of medicine that I carry everywhere. So it's like I know that it's going to be on the tram with me if I've forgotten, or it's going to be at work or wherever.
Yeah, those are great because you can throw them in your gym bag, or like if you're going off to Sydney for the weekend and don't have like you don't take your whole bottle of 30 pills with you, you can just take a little watertight little screw up thing and throw it in your bag and away you go for the weekend.
Obviously, the preferred method is to have one pill a day and not miss any. If you do miss some, or if you decide, I don't want to have one every day because I'm not having sex with other people, is there still some form of protection for those occasional
times? Yeah, absolutely. Especially for anal intercourse, PrEP is relatively forgiving. So anything over 4+ doses a week has a high efficacy. We recommend taking it every day because then you've got more chances to slip up. It's a different story for vaginal or frontal sex. So if you're a woman or a trans guy and you engage in frontal sex, you need to be a lot more strictly adherent because it's less forgiving. But generally you can, you know, if you go out and perhaps you have a big weekend, I'm sure we've all had those where you may be out at a house party and you kick on and you don't get home on the Saturday morning or the Sunday morning to take your pill, you can take the Monday morning and everything should be hunky-dory.
Yeah, I suppose the thing is if it's more than 12 hours before your next dose is due, you can take it. But if it's less than 12 hours before your next dose, you're better off just waiting and catching up, or just having one single dose at your next dose, yeah, not double dosing.
And Chris?
Yeah, I was going to add to that. If you are making the decision to, you know, take a break from using PrEP or even stop using PrEP altogether, besides consulting with your GP, it's really important to make sure that you continue using PrEP for at least 28 days after your last possible exposure to HIV. So you can choose to take a break from PrEP if you like to, but, you know, discuss that with your GP first and make sure that you have to, weaned off it after that 28-day period.
Yeah, and then if you do decide to restart PrEP, so say you know, you have a break for a couple of months and then you want to get back on, you need to restart and do everything from scratch again and make sure you take your 7 days all in a row to make sure you've got full coverage before any potential exposures.
So you can hibernate during winter.
You can.
But, just make sure you recycle back up again.
Exactly. Yeah.
Great advice.
And it's a bit different if you want to take a break from your ART if you're a person living with HIV, and I would
slightly
recommend talking to your HIV specialist if you fit into that category.
What are some, and just talking about PrEP for change and PrEP access now more generally, what are still some of the big questions being asked by the community in this space? Given we've had PrEP access now around for 12 months.
Yeah. When's it going to be on the PBS?
Yes, when is it going to be on the PBS? Truvada and one of the generic manufacturers of Truvada have two products up to bat in the next PBAC meeting. So that'll be assessed in July. And then hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll have subsidised PrEP available on the market. So at the moment we've got TGA approval, so you can walk down to any old GP and they can write you a script for Truvada or generic Truvada and you can order online and off you go. But it's getting subsidised access so that we have equitable access across the entire country, so anyone that wants this medication has good access to it.
To get something on the PBS and you hear about these particular issues that happen, which are very, very rare, does that jeopardise the chances of it becoming available on the PBS? Is that a concern?
I'm not on the PBAC committee, so I couldn't tell you that. It doesn't affect the the efficacy of the product. It's already TGA approved. We know this medication works.
Yep.
My understanding is that it should have absolutely zero impact on whether it's a subsidised medication or not.
So let's jump forward. When's the trial? Does the trial have an end date?
It does, which I can't remember off the top of my head. It runs for just over 2 years.
Okay,
so it'll be middle of next year.
Let's jump forward, or maybe you guys can answer this a different way. Sorry, when will we know? Will we know the circumstances for this individual? You know, will it come out through the trial process?
Look, I would imagine so. Mm. But as we discussed earlier in the piece, it's at this point of time, we don't know and we shouldn't know, and yep. It's not up to us to know. Yep. And it's part of this person's own personal experience and the journey they're going on, and they deserve all the privacy and the support that they need to enter into this journey. And it's not for us to know and second guess and gossip and, you know, and enter into light conversation on, like, it's fine to have questions, it's fine to have concerns.
Yep.
But yeah, the language we use is really important.
So we've got about a few minutes left. Chris, can we start with you? If this individual is listening now, what would you say to them?
Wow. It's an interesting question, because I've spent all day today and yesterday fundamentally talking about this particular person without knowing who they are or what they're going through. So given the opportunity to talk directly to this person, I would say you are supported and you are loved. So whatever support you need, do not hesitate to reach out. There are organizations that support you. There are individuals, there are groups that support you. And while it must be awful to be at the center of all this debate and this discussion around you, you are still loved in that.
Michael, did you want to...
I'd just follow on from what Chris said there, in that this person is newly a person living with HIV, so they're part of this this family, this community of people. They're still just as much a part of the PrEP community as they are of the POS community. Mm-hmm. So they've got an amazing network of people out there, and when it's the right time for this person to enter into that community, they've got an amazing support network out there just waiting for them. So, if we ever cross paths, I'd love to have a beer with you. Have a chat.
Joel?
Living Positive Victoria run a fantastic newly diagnosed workshop called Phoenix. That would be my suggestion. When I seroconverted, I was too scared to go to the Phoenix workshop because I was like, I need someone to go with me. And then my friend who had seroconverted about 12 months before me, he was like, I'll come along with you, but then never ended up coming along with me. And then I never ended up going along.
Right.
And as a result, I didn't connect with anyone immediately around, and I really like community connection is key. So
yeah, and I mean, this person's in a fantastic position in that, you know, that they're part of a clinical study, so they've got the utmost of clinical care, and having met people that are working on this study personally, I know they're a great team of people that will without question be putting in touch with some of those fantastic groups, mm-hmm. like the newly diagnosed groups at LPV and all the great community groups. So, yeah.
Final message from you guys to the community at the moment. I'm guessing it's maintain adherence, get PrEP where you can, be kind to each other.
Yeah.
Right. Keep calm and take your PrEP.
Keep calm and take PrEP, yeah.
I mean, my take-home message is, like, PrEP's just one tool amongst a whole suite of tools. So,
absolutely.
You know...
pick and choose the ones that work.
Pick and choose the ones that work. That's a great way to say it.
In addition to that, please try not to stigmatise other people based upon their choice of HIV prevention strategy. Like, whatever works for you, great. Whatever works for somebody else, even if it's not the same as your prevention strategy, that's okay too. You are both unified because you are doing something to protect yourselves. So take credit for that. And yeah, really, really give each other appreciation for the fact that you are doing your bit to end HIV transmissions.
Thank you guys for joining us tonight. Now, I hope you guys are also taking care of yourselves. Because it's been a very busy 24 hours.
Hope you're getting some sleep.
It has been a very busy 24, 48 hours. And like we said, there's been some really negative comments online for this particular issue. But there's been some really great, affirming, positive comments from people in my own network and outside of my own network that I've bear witness to online. And that's been really heartwarming.
And if you are part of the PrEP community or you're part of the HIV community, you know, reach out on social media to either PrEP Access Now or PrEP for Change or Living Positive Victoria or other groups in the community here, particularly here in Melbourne, or wherever you are listening to this Joy podcast. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time to join us tonight for this, I think, quite important discussion.
Thank you so much for having us.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
This has been Hide and Seek for another Wednesday evening. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
Don't forget, all of Joy's podcasts, and in particular Hide and Seek's podcasts, are available at joy.org.au, and all of our social media channels are available at joy.org.au/hide and seek. A massive thank you to David, who's been doing all of our podcasts for quite some time now.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David. And coming up next is Declan with Indie Heads. This has been Hide and Seek for another Wednesday night.
Ciao.
Joy 94.9.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
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 Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.